Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
So friends, I think since we've been here, it feels like we've travelled a long way with Jesus. A considerably long way, actually. And I get the joy. Susie and I, we talk about you, frankly. We talk about you at home in the morning, mainly, isn't it? Just before we pray. We talk about you and we have the joy of walking with you and looking at what Jesus is doing in your life. Some of you can see it. Some of you don't see it, and we spot it before you do. It's a real joy for us to be able to do that. And many of you have made considerable strides in your desire to be more like Jesus, walk with Jesus to see his kingdom come. And actually, in addition, I think we've made considerable strides as a parish in serving the community of Bedhampton by sharing God's love and friendship. But there's more to be had. I believe there is more to be had, and I've said that to you before. But actually, I believe the more to be had in our purpose, our vision, and our identity, or what we sometimes call our VIP, is mostly to do with the outward-looking part of what we're talking about. Perhaps they weren't the first to do it, but in a book called Launching Missional Communities, Breen and Absalom, the authors of that book, point out there are three great loves and distinct dimensions of Jesus, a triangle, if you will, in his mission while he was here on earth. They say that he looked up for deep, connected relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit, paying attention to what the Holy Spirit was doing. They say he looked inward towards his community of disciples, connecting with them, investing time with them, walking around with them, teaching them. And they say he looked out to the brokenness of the world, out looking for a response from individuals to come to know him, in a relationship with him. And then he looked out as well to the injustice of the world and called that out. Up, in, and out is this triangular mission of Jesus. And I think actually our vision and our identity and our purpose, and particularly the purpose, which is mostly here, maps quite nicely onto this up, in, and out triangular vision of Jesus. We look up to be a place where all ages gather. All ages gather to worship God as we look up to God. We look inwards to one another as we gather today in a range of ages and expressions, some on the beginning of a journey with Jesus, some haven't walked for a long time. And we gather in small groups, some of us, and we receive support, love and practical help from one another. But we also look out to be a place where the community gathers for celebration from birth to grave. So actually, as a Church of England church, we are really blessed that people naturally, believe it or not, still want to come along and celebrate new birth, celebrate marriage, but also commiserate at the end of life. You know, there are many things about being the Church of England that I'm not keen on, but there are many blessings that come as well. And the fact that we are still seen as being the church that can do that, that they can come to, even though they perhaps don't come on a Sunday, is a massive blessing and a massive missional opportunity. And we've seen lots of benefit from that over the last years. But we also look out to be a part of the whole community out there as well, building relationships with people and seeing God's kingdom come in this community. God has blessed us with this since we wrote this down about 5 years ago. And we have seen growth both in number, but also I've seen growth in depth as well. Depth of understanding of who Jesus is to people. Which brings me to our Romans reading. Romans. By the way, we're going to be looking at Romans starting in a couple of weeks' time. As a book, we're going to work our way through it over the sort of spring. So if you want to get a steal on that, do go back home and read Romans. Just do a quick skim read of it. Don't worry too much about the in-depth detail, but get that into who you are. Get the understanding of what's going on there, and we'll break that apart. But we look, Coincidentally, today's reading was also from Romans. And Paul, speaking to the church in Rome, a church that he loves, summarizes some of who God is for them. Now, it is quite an in-depth passage, so we won't be breaking it all apart today. And if you'll forgive me, I'm going to just summarise the first half like this. Paul says, you can't earn God's love. That basically would be daft, wouldn't it? He says, you can't earn God's love. Jesus came, he says, because God already loves you. That's the biggest thing for some people to get over. Why would God already love me? But he did, Paul says. And he also says, God's love is available for everyone. Doesn't matter what colour, doesn't matter what age, what creed, what background. God's love is even available for a Lee Park boy like me. And I joke about that, but God's love is available for everyone. What an amazing gift that we don't deserve that God brings. But if it's freely given and we can't earn it, what is our response? If his love is really life-changing, and I believe it is, and I see it is in you as well, then what is our part in God's mission here in Bedhampton? We've already said we can't buy it. So what do we do? If we've already accepted his love, what is our response? And I believe actually our response is in Paul's second part of this passage today, where he says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone who says, Lord, I'm here. I have no clue about all this. I've got so many questions you couldn't believe it. But anyone calls, anyone who says, come and teach me, come and show me, anyone who says, Spirit, come, will be answered. Then he goes on, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That is our response, my friends. We are the bearers of good news. Or as we phrased it, we are the servers of the community of Bedhampton, sharing God's love and friendship. That's what we've said we are. And Jesus chooses you. I mean, what a wonderful song. I didn't know people were going to play that kiddie song at the beginning. A family song. Sorry, shouldn't call it a kiddie song. But actually, Jesus chose you and you and you and you and you to share that love, to be the people who have the skills and the resources. Because he's given you the skills and the resources. Now, hearing that you have the skills, the gifts, the resources to share the love of Jesus might elicit a number of responses in you, mostly driven by fear, I suspect. And one response might be, I don't have any skills or gifts that can be used. Let the rector speak to people about God. Unfortunately, there's a couple of issues with that statement. Firstly, I do speak to people about God. You'll be glad to hear about that bit, won't you? But if I manage to speak to one person a month, share the love of God, and then show them how they might live a life that honours him if they choose to follow him. If I manage to do that with one person a month, that's 12 people a year. That doesn't seem to me like all God has for Bedhampton, that 12 people a year might hear about the love of God. Secondly, actually, history has shown that when you depend on one person who happens to have a dog collar around his or her neck, churches don't grow. If you elevate one person to be the messenger of God, churches don't grow. And thirdly, and we've actually seen that even in this parish, history has shown again that if you do that, if you leave it down to one person, that person will burn out. Not may burn out, that person will burn out one way or the other. I'm nowhere near that, by the way, but we know that we've got loved ones who have burnt out. But perhaps the most important reason I think that can't be the way that God wants to share his mission here in Bedhampton is because it's simply not the way of Jesus. simply isn't how Jesus did it. If you look at how he did it. I mean, we read in Matthew this, don't we? We read in Matthew the story of the disciples with Jesus. They go off to the other side of the lake after he's been teaching. Well, he takes some time to go up and pray. And then eventually he decides he wants to catch up with them. And so he walks on the water towards the boat. And the disciples see this figure coming from a distance and don't recognize Jesus. And they think it's a ghost. And they are in fear. And Jesus says, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And then Peter, that apprentice of Jesus, that disciple, says, "It's you, Jesus, if you tell me to come, I will come. It's you, Jesus, if you tell me to come, I know I will be able to do that." And Jesus says simply, "Come." And Peter gets out of the boat and walks towards Jesus. Peter gets out of the boat and literally walks on water, doing what Jesus is doing. Peter is doing exactly what Jesus does. He walks towards him. And then the world comes in from the outside and he gets distracted. He takes his eyes off of Jesus, takes his eyes off the Holy Spirit, and we see him sink beneath the waves. And as Jesus reaches down, because Jesus never left, he never leaves. As Jesus reaches down to grab him and pull him up, he says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" A rebuke? I don't think so. I don't think it is a rebuke. I think we see Jesus saying, "You so could have done that. You so could have stepped out with the Holy Spirit, with me, and done that." In fact, Jesus says there and elsewhere, "You can do greater things than he did." Not without him, with the Holy Spirit. He reaches down and says, "Come on, let's do this together. Do not be afraid, I am with you." And so for me, that's the big idea. And it's the idea for such a time as this in Bedhampton. As we serve the community of Bedhampton by sharing God's love and friendship, we all serve the community of Bedhampton by sharing God's love and friendship. From the littlest to the oldest, and everyone in between. It's such a great song to have at the beginning of our time together. But that includes you and me. It does include me as well. I'm not getting out of this. But it includes you as well. It includes my resources, your resources, includes my skills, and thankfully many of you have different skills and giftings to me. It includes those. I mean, Susie and I mean, we couldn't be any different, could we? I mean, you come to a hug from me and you look at me like, "Is he going to give me a hug?" Yeah. Susie walks in and she's hugged five people before she's reached the chair. God uses us in different ways, and he uses all of your giftings as well in a different way. Which leads me to the application of this big idea today. If it's us who bring God's mission here, if Jesus uses us, and he does, then how does that work in Bedhampton? And Susie, again, I'm mentioning you a lot today. I don't know what that is. You must be very holy. Susie was reading from this book that we've been reading together the other day, a book by Tom Wright, who sometimes goes by N.T. Wright, called Simply Christian. This book is a sort of manifesto for being a Christian, really, what it means to be a Christian. He walks you through the whole part of what it means to be a Christian. You know, it's not a simple read, but it's not a difficult read either. And she was reading from that, and I love the way that he describes how people come to know Jesus. He basically asks the question, how do you wake up in the morning? Who wakes up to the alarm clock in the morning? Anyone? Yeah. I can imagine that you might wake up to the alarm clock. You'd be surprised you're still awake, sleep actually, but yes, some of us wake up to the alarm. Who sort of tends to drift awake in the morning, is it? Yeah. It doesn't mean you actually get up late. Does it? I mean, I drift awake in the morning. I'm often awake before the alarm goes off. So I drift awake. Tom Wright says, some of us wake up with a sudden jolt to the alarm clock and we're up and we're about the day quickly. Whereas other of us, probably more like me, I tend to start drifting awake at 5 o'clock and then gently drift into the day. My wife's raising her eyebrows at me. You think it's earlier than that, don't you? Yeah, well, it's earlier than 5 o'clock. But I tend to drift into the day, half awake, half asleep, and then move on. And Tom Wright suggests that actually that's how many people come to know Jesus. Some of us, it happened almost in an instant. A jolt, an awakening to the presence of God in your life. Incidentally, is there anyone like that here? There tends to be less people that way, but there was a little bit of that in me, I think. But less so for Susie. Others of us maybe have always drifted slowly awake to come to know, maybe as a child even, to grow into knowing Jesus. Or even as an adult, drifted slowly into the understanding of who Jesus is. And I think actually that's part of the point. Because actually God has brought a mixture of us here. Who came to know Jesus for a friend? Anyone? No? Some people here? Yeah. Who read a book or something? Who was dragged along to a church event and eventually gave in? There's a whole mixture of us here, isn't there? There's a whole mixture. My story is very strange. I went to a business meeting and came to know Jesus through a business meeting. I'll talk about that another time. Some of you know that story. And Susie and I walked into a church. I say Susie and I walked into the church. Susie was lovely enough to honour me at that point and come with me. And so I am what every rector and vicar ever dreams of. Someone who just walks into church and says, tell me about this Jesus thing. That's very rare, that one, isn't it? It's very rare. Actually, most people come to know Jesus through questions that they've had and they're brought along to something, or they're offered something like an alpha course. But that's the point. We all come in a different way, and that's why you are key to the mission of God in Bedhampton.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.